Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who love our work and love sharing it with you. We are so fascinated by how the planets live out in everyday life. And so we talk about what's going on in the stars and how that is relevant to you in your lives, in your headlines, and in your daily experience. And this is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from St. Paul, Minnesota. And I'm joined by my friends, Mark.
Mark Wolves in New York City, the island of Manhattan, over on the west side by the Hudson River. And over on the east side is...
Ann Ortley at my bright red desk with a little bit of a cold, so I promise not to cough in the phone. But yeah, here in the lovely New York where it's 57 degrees, we are having fall officially start. So.
Yeah, and so are we down here, up here in Minnesota, and it has been crisp and clear, which I'm grateful for, but the wind has taken most of the leaves off the trees. It's a little early for that. But so we've got, the sun has just entered Scorpio, and we're heading into the heart of Scorpio season. We have a new moon in Scorpio coming up, and we have Mercury and Venus both in Scorpio at 17 and 19 degrees now, moving into a square with Mars, and soon after that into a square with Neptune at the end of the week. So we'll have Mars square Venus and Mercury square Neptune T-square. And then... Shortly after that, by the end of next week, Mercury and Venus head into Sagittarius. So some really interesting astrological aspects coming up that we need to play carefully. Now let's talk a little bit about what the heart of Scorpio season is. Every holiday, every sign has a holiday that helps us illustrate what is some of the magic and the archetype of the sign. And, of course, for Scorpio, it is Halloween, the Samhain. It is time to look at our worst fears, face them all, and get ready to face the long winter. Now, this is a lot easier in this day and age with central heating and food delivery. But once upon a time, winter was a time when there's a chance we wouldn't make it out of there, that we were really facing life and death. Scorpio comes from that request that every year we begin the winter by really looking at death, moving past our fear of it. We give kids candies with skulls on it and dance with morbid thoughts and watch scary movies and sort of, you know, do implosion therapy with fear. Get past that and feel a freedom to walk into the winter. And I think also a chance to really prioritize our life. What matters when you're heading into the dark of the winter? What matters when you're looking at life and death and power and empowerment issues? And what else would you two say about just the nature of the journey of Scorpio? Mark?
Yeah, I like that very much, Heather, thinking of that, the heart of the Scorpio season being Halloween. And it is time to... kind of pull in and look at what's more inward and realize that things come to an end and that there is a process that goes on deep inside. And that's what's happening really in all of nature during the Scorpio season. All the energy begins to draw in to the center and into the depths where it will turn around and produce the seeds for next spring. But without going in and without all the external leaves and flowers and all that dying off and all the fruit dying off, then you won't have spring. So there is that big awareness. But it's nice that we, as you mentioned, have those rituals of facing death and mortality. And being able to have a little bit of fun with it. So, here we go.
Yes. And Anne, what are your thoughts on the
I really kind of like the new moon this week because it's a 3 Scorpio, and the Sabian image for it is a youth holding a candle to learn the wisdom of the ages. And I think one of the things that Scorpios, you know, on the good day, you know, when they're happy and they're kind of figuring things out, is they're very much about, you know, taking those candles and lighting them into the darker parts of the being or the body, or helping us look in to help us connect to the other worlds, because Scorpios do see things. You know, they, you know, very often they actually see the ghosts and they see the entities, or they're just very, very tuned into energy shifts. So the Sabian image for the new moon on Wednesday of a youth holding a lighted candle in a ritual, gaining a sense of the great other world, it asks us to look deeper, to look further in, to really examine what's going on in our life, what we're, why we're here, what we're doing. And, you know, when we watch everything end, the ritual ending of the year reminds us that in we too will end. I always find it interesting that Ash Wednesday is in the summer. I always feel like it should be in the fall, you know, when you mark your forehead with the remember that you are dust and unto dust you shall return, because the fall seems like a much more natural placement for it. To say, remember, remind yourself. But maybe they're trying to remind you as the new life comes of springtime. Oh, yeah, you're still going to die, kid. So I think Scorpios, as our transferring signs, they're there for that profound transformation. They, you know, Scorpio rules the house of death. It's the things we don't talk about, you know, sex, death, and taxes, although now we talk about sex a lot, but we didn't used to. And, you know, how much money you get paid or how much you owe the government. It's the house of secrets. So I always find when the lights go in there, the sun and the moon together this week, we tend to see secrets that we hadn't otherwise seen. And it's always good to look in the little secret places because you can find out really interesting stuff. So, you know, and I have planets in Scorpio, so I always feel a little at home because they get a little sunshine for a little period of time here as the sun moves through this first part of the story. So I'm always of the mind of, you know, Scorpio's fun, even though, you know, it's, you know, I mean, and when you think about it, it's, you know, adult playtime when you get naked and have fun with other people. That's Scorpio, you know?
Or dress up as your deepest fantasy.
Or dress up as your deepest fantasy, right, right. Mm-hmm.
That, you know, I remember my favorite Come As You Were party, Come As Your Favorite Past Life in New Mexico, that we can get by playing out our fantasies, facing our book, the worst monsters and our most fun and our shadow side. We're also by that privacy that those masks give people, they often get more permission to reveal themselves. Because that kind of, the Scorpio asks, you know, I see people pull their cards in close to the chest, and they don't talk as much about themselves unless they're willing to go deep.
Right.
I've had some, you know, less casual conversations and more really in-depth conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we take that and go in-depth with it. The Mercury, and there's an interesting paradox right now with that Venus and Mercury in Scorpio. Venus and Mercury conjunct, it can be good conversation, a chance to show that you care. Poetic, it's a great time to write and let, when Venus conjuncts Mercury, our words find beauty. But it, that I don't want to be poked, and I don't want anybody asking how I am unless they mean it.
I don't want to what? Be poked and don't want to what?
Be poked. I don't want anybody to ask how I'm feeling unless they mean it. You know, don't ask casually.
Right.
Get real or, you know, don't bother. And that kind of, you know, everybody gets a little bit of a New York attitude around the rest of the country when everything goes into Scorpio.
Mm-hmm.
Honorary New York, too, for a bit. We got that Venus and Mars in Scorpio, but squaring Mars in Leo, who wants to be noticed. So I'm noticing couples go through this flicker back and forth where one person shuts down and the other one expands, where one person asks for attention and the other one needs privacy, so that the Mars and Leo side, it feels insulted and or worried or abandoned or, what, they don't love me? You know, they're being withdrawn into themselves or they're doing their own thing. But just to have patience with the difference this week. But there's a lot of, they're both in thick, stubborn signs. They don't No one's really, they may be open-hearted, but they're not particularly willing to change their mind right now. Wait till next week. Wait till Mercury and Venus head into Sagittarius at the end of November 3rd and 4th. And when that'll be a lot easier to change people's minds and open up ideas than it is this week. You know, work with what's working, and if it's not, hold your ground. You know, back away from the argument if it's with someone you love, and just go, huh, well, I'll think about that. I'll get back to you in a week. And see if you can know that there's a series of misunderstandings that maybe begin to build as Venus and Mercury start moving into a square with Neptune and Mars starts to oppose Neptune. It's going to be interesting to see how that works out. Anne, would you like to give out the number for people to call in?
Mm-hmm.
Do we have anybody on the line already?
We do have somebody on the line, and our guest call-in number is 347-215-8881. 347.
Jump right on the line because we've been shorting our caller.
215-8881. Yeah, and I think the other thing we want to just kind of mention because of the shift of energy is the back end of this weekend got like a little drama associated with it. So just being aware of that, the drama is to make you see something. And, you know, there's a bunch of planets in Scorpio and there's this whole kind of intrigue going on. So watch it. Don't necessarily react. Wait until Sunday because at that point you'll actually know what's really going on. So if you want to call, our call-in number is 347-215-8881, and we will and press 1 so you raise your hand so we can call on you. Hi, 631. How are you?
Hi, Anne. Hi, Heather. Hi, Mark. It's
hi.
Debbie.
How?
Hi.
Okay. I'm actually calling in for my son because he does not understand all this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he basically wants to know about work and his love life.
Okay.
Okay, when was your son born?
September 6th, 1988, at 5:25 a.m. in Bayshore, New York.
Bayshore, okay. Cool. So work questions and love questions, any particular areas or just does he have somebody? Yeah. Heather, you want to go?
As I was saying, he sure is growing up this year.
Yeah.
You know, it's not easy being him. And, you know, if you could just say, hey, hang on 2 years, and life really opens up for you. But he has Chiron at 6 degrees of Cancer, Mars at 10 Aries, Neptune at 7 Capricorn, and Venus at 8 Libra, forming a grand square natally. And Pluto is going to be setting that whole thing off and ringing his heart like a bell. For the last year, Saturn has been squaring his Moon and Venus. Now, he sure, you know, that's often someone who loves their mom and thinks of their mom as a good friend, but may have a little unrealistic expectations of relationships because they're not mom. And he doesn't, I think, you understand him so well, it's a little hard for him to believe how little girlfriends can understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And that when he's willing to do some of the work to understand them as much as he is understood, he's a very kind, loving, caring person that someone will value tremendously. There's a little fear of being rejected in him, so it's important for him to become friends with people first, and then move into relationship because he'll feel more secure about it and therefore more open. But he's got a lot of, he's done already a huge amount of growing up this year. And now he's moving into a phase where he has to really put the pieces together. And he has some internal conflicts between the various sides of himself. Like he can't quite decide what he wants to do. And when he's focused and he's clear, it's going to take another 2 years, I think, before he really knows. But when he does, I think it'll be easy for him to make anything he wants happen.
Right.
But he has to kind of feel that clearness first and do some healing on his sense of, on his confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be hard for you because to heal his sense of confidence, he knows his mom believes in him. And he needs to feel that you believe in him and enough to let him learn himself rather than do things for him. And
okay.
That's going to be a little tricky during this time.
Yeah, that's always the hard part.
Always a hard part. In 3 weeks, he's moving. In 3 months, his progressed moon moves out of Taurus into Gemini, and it'll be a lot easier for him to reach out and try new things.
Okay.
Now, is he working now, or is he in school?
No, and he can't decide what he wants to actually do, and, you know, like you said, this is a grow-up time for him. He's not understanding how come he can't get a relationship going, nothing. It's just like, you know, he's searching.
Mm-hmm. And trying to figure out what he's doing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was thinking of going to school for radiology. What's that?
You know, I would, if he could go on a journey or do something like the Peace Corps or AmeriCorps or do something where he doesn't have to decide right away, but he can get involved and build up relationship and personal skills, just work skills, by diving into an experience and then come back and go to school. I think he'll have a much better sense of himself.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little hard for him. He needs to kind of just have a little bit more experience under his belt before he knows what he's going to do.
Yeah, I know he's frustrated because he can't find work. You know.
And what kind of work is he looking for? Because he's good with physical things, huh?
Kind of anything right now.
Anything, just to get something.
Yeah, he has a great, great love for music, and that's mm-hmm. what he wanted to pursue and go to school for. And I tried to talk to him and tell him to maybe just for now try to find something a little more realistic,
mm-hmm.
you know. Now he's thinking he may go to school for radiology.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, he's always concerned about that love life. He's very, very picky. Extremely. He wants it, but yet he's very, very picky.
Well, Virgo.
He's got to let mm-hmm. him see some time away from his mom. And
we have that
time alone, loving himself, not necessarily being loved by anybody else, just for a while. Again, how old is he now?
23.
Okay, by 25 or 6, he is going to be off and rolling on a beautiful life.
Okay,
he's
great.
Really in a 2-year explore himself, deal with the world, face real issues, and find himself journey.
Mm-hmm. It's hard because we kind of get the impression that we're supposed to have a direction, but he's got planets all over the place. So really one of the things you should say to him is that because he has planets all over, he has the kind of chart that has to try stuff and say, yeah, that works. No, it doesn't work. Because he's what we call a splash. And so he finds it by trying it with the Taurus midheaven and with the sun in the first. And he has to give himself permission to try it, which I think he will. And he also is born in an eclipse. So there's a little part of him that being born in an eclipse makes it hard for him to risk things because he always feels like if he risks something, he's going to lose because his sun's on the south node. But it looks, his part of fortune's at 23:46, so that's age 23 and 3/4. So he should find something he really likes at that age, too, so that's not that far away. And boys often take a little longer to find their path. Just because it's hard world out there, and what are you doing? So, I mean, I know you're worried about him, but he's also got Saturn going through the second, which is him figuring out what he wants, and that's the hardest thing, because he's very good at paying attention to what everybody else wants with that Virgo sun and all those nice, nurturing Cancer planets. You know, so he's tuned into other people, but he doesn't always say, well, I want this. So it can be a little hard for him to kind of go, well, what actually do I want? And so part of it, I would just encourage him to try a lot of different things And then once he's done that, then he'll find what he likes. And Virgo, sun with Taurus midheaven, it has to be something he believes in. It has to be something that he feels that he's doing for the greater good of humanity or the greater good of the world. He's got a little bit of a save the world kind of chart, wanting to believe that he can make a difference. And, you know, when you're 23, they basically say, hey, kid, sit down. Let me show you what, you know, you don't know anything. So, you know, it's not the encouragement, you know, of, oh, yeah, conquer the world. But he wants to, you know. So it's really a chart that just says let him try things he likes, even if he doesn't get paid for it, if he's doing volunteer work someplace, and then they see him and they like him, they'll hire him because he's got a good work ethic. But he has to get his foot in the door.
Within six, his progressed moon has just entered in the last month, his house of work, and it's going to be there for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
His progressed transiting Saturn will be leaving his house of money, which has been making him poor for 2 years, and will in 6 months go into his third house when they start to take him more seriously within 6 months. We see this changing. It's not going to be on this forever, but if he can kind of hang in there. I think Anne was absolutely right about the saving the world mentality. He likes being of service. He likes coming to the rescue. So yes, he's a musician, no doubt about it.
He isn't a musician. He just loves music and wanted to work in the music industry, in the technical part.
He really has that music in his soul. But I would suggest that for him, that it's a little hard for him to make compromises on that. That's the kind of the place where he's so particular. It's hard for him to be a beginner. It's hard for him to learn the trade. It's hard for him to do what he wants. If he wants to go into the music industry, he would need to go back to school and really, has he had work in like music? Engineering?
No.
Okay. Because he is so picky, he would not want scut jobs in music. He would want to work. He would want to start in at a pretty high level, and that means he's going to need to take himself seriously and get some education if that's really where he wants to go.
Mm-hmm.
But I suspect that music may be what he loves and what he wants to do more and more and find his own way to. But meanwhile, bread and butter, he needs a job where he feels of service to the world, that Mars and Aries can be a hero, not a rebel, but a hero, and, you know, and be useful and come to the rescue in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
So let him think about that.
He's very thick-headed, too. Side.
Absolutely. You cannot tell him what to do.
No.
If you tell him what to do, he's not going to do it at all.
Yeah, I believe in you.
Yeah, Mark, go ahead. I'll underscore that couple of notes that you've both given on being of service and also learning through experience. And so he's in a period now in his early 20s where experience is really open, and yet it's also really important. And it's hard to be in that stage because there is an impatience. And yet you have to do two things at once. One is to be in the experience without judging it, just saying, okay, the experience is what it is. But the other is to be able to say, all of this is going to add up. And it doesn't seem like it will, or it doesn't seem like it is going to add up in the way you want it to. So you have to put yourself in a situation that'll move you toward what you want it to add up to, but you're not there yet. So it's really difficult. And, you know, it's basically these are the apprenticeship years. So the best thing he can do at this point is say, of all the fields I'm familiar with, which is the one I truly want to apprentice in? And then go and get the experience and the education in that field. But he has to be able to name, and he might change it, but at least begin to get a foundation in one solid field. So it's a matter of picking that field and saying to yourself, I might decide in 5 years that I was wrong, but I still got the foundation I needed, and I just have to shift how I'm going to apply it.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just been walking around kind of like lost. Mm-hmm. You know, how come I don't have a girlfriend? How he's trying to mend fences with his dad. You know,
yeah, that's
looking for work and not, you know, he's just like.
I think it's important that you don't answer him. And you say, what do you think, honey?
Mm-hmm.
And stop giving him, he needs to do a little bit more work. He moves into sadness, and depression can be a problem for him for the next couple of years. I mean, then it's not an issue. But sadness and passivity as a way out of doing his homework. It's scary out there. So he tends to sit at home and not meet anybody and wonder why he doesn't have a girlfriend. So it's scary for him to be rejected, and he's got to do the take that risk to meet people. So, you know, the one thing you can help him look at is like, well, if meeting a girl is the number one thing for you to do, let's look at how you spend your week. Are you spending your week meeting new people?
No, he does go out a lot. He does go out. He's very, when he's out, he's like a little social butterfly.
But he's going out with his friends. He's not really going out to meet people.
We're looking in the right places for him.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, okay.
I think you're going to need to do some tough love to make it safe for him to reach out.
Mm-hmm. I also would say, you know, he's...
He is competent.
He's not, you know, he's not really a kid that's going to want to give his heart easily. You know, he's a pretty sensitive kid. So
yeah.
I don't know, you know, where we have this whole conquest the world kind of thing. That's not who he is as a person. You know, his Mars is in the eighth house, which is good, but it's also retrograde in Aries. So Mars is going to be retrograde in his first house for the next 9 months. So from November through July, he may find someone. Because when Mars is retrograde is when good things happen for him. So this may be a good time for him to find the job. But realistically, I wouldn't look for him to seriously get serious with anybody until he feels comfortable with his work, because he's going to be one of those people that I have to have my job in place. And a girlfriend's nice, but, you know, he had one when he was like 21 and a half. And the next big one is 28, you know, 28, 51, almost when he's almost 29. He's got commitment towards the later. And I mean, Virgos, I'm a Virgo too. We tend to feel like we have to have our life in order before we can have a relationship. So the part of him that wants a relationship, then he's like, well, but I don't have a job, so how can I do, you know, da, da, da.
He does say that, actually.
Uh-huh.
You know, as much, he does say that.
Yeah.
As much as he wants it, he's like, but, you know, I'm not working now.
I can't take her out.
What do I do for her?
Right.
You know, so he, it's like he, there's so much want there and confusion, you know.
Well, but he knows from his point of view he needs to have his ducks lined up. And then he can be in a relationship, because otherwise he's not going to feel like he's comfortable in it. So, you know, honoring that. And also, he's just not a hound dog.
Okay.
So
let's gonna, we're going to take
the
a
British
break
lady,
and summarize up. We don't have time for anybody else, but we're
going
to go ahead and summarize up this week. Good luck to him. And believe in him. I think he's got he's got quite a life ahead of him. He just needs to keep exploring for the next few years.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's it. The end of the week.
Okay, so everybody, last minutes of, this is Halloween weekend coming up. And what news do we have for people on Halloween?
To sit
what
and...
What advice are we going to give people?
I think Halloween, we want to say goodbye to the dead people, because all the people that croaked this year that didn't cross over, this is the narrowing of the veils between the two worlds. And so there's a lot of transition going on. That's why we try and keep the ghosts away by trick-or-treating, but it also, it's saying goodbye to the relatives. So I always like on this to sit down and kind of light a candle on either Thanksgiving or not Thanksgiving, New Halloween or All Saints Day, and just kind of think of the people who I've loved or people who've been influential in my life that I've admired from afar, like Steve Jobs, and say goodbye to them and wish them good journey.
Okay, it's time to say goodbye.
Yep.
Good night. This is Heather Owen Robbins from St. Paul, Minnesota, and we're joined by Mark
Waltz in New York.
And Ann Ortley in New York.
And Ann Ortley, okay. And we all wish you a wonderful Halloween.
Yeah, happy Halloween. Watch out for ghosts.
Trick or treat.
Trick or treat.
Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Okay, bye.